Hi, Reverend Will Tugwell. All of a sudden I sound young. It is my great privilege and honor to read from God's word today. And going through this passage earlier this week, I was reminded that there was a time where Jesus stood up in the church and read God's word. So it's also quite humbling as I come and read his word to you today. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So whatever device you have with you, please take that out and read with me. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
It is an honor today to to be here to speak at my nephew's ordination. Thank you, Tim. You didn't know me, so you trusted Will, I know, but it's not always a good thing to do. But thank you for inviting me today. Thank you for three services. That's amazing. And it's just been lovely being here. The worship's been really great and strong. And that pantry that the ladies did last week, I love that sort of stuff. That's where I think we need to be as the church. So congratulations and good on you. Growing up, Will was actually quite an annoying little brat. Is he still like that? He's got this little twist to him. Have you seen it yet? But we love him and we're very proud of him today. And it's good that I didn't kill him when he was younger, so he's here today. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I delved a little bit into his past and I found out that his great-great-grandfather was the Reverend Frederick Tugwell. It almost sounds German, that. It's interesting. That's his great-great-grandfather. Now, some of the older ladies today reckon there was likeness in the nose. I don't know what you think. I just added a... So let's call him Reverend Frederick today. Congratulations, Reverend Frederick. But his great-great-uncle was the Reverend Herbert Tugwell, and he was Bishop of Equatorial Africa. So there we go. In the Anglican Church, I assume. His great-grandfather was another Frederick, Reverend Frederick Tugwell, in the army. He was an army padre in World War One, I think it was. Let's have a look at what that looks like. So, Reverend Will Tugwell, where will God take you? What will he do? Where will he send you? Maybe he will send you too to be a bishop of Equatorial Africa. But you might have to change churches. All right, the gifts of the Spirit. This is a wonderful passage, wonderful scripture. Because it's not like we study sort of theology, but this is not theology. This is life. This is actually a manifestation of the Spirit. This is how we should live our lives. And that's why I love this scripture and this passage. It's God at work in us. And it's God at work in us because of his incredible love for us. I don't think we always grasp just how much he loves us. And how much he wants to give us these gifts and how much he wants us to enjoy these gifts and to use these gifts and to work with these gifts and mature into these gifts for good, for the community, for the church, for your family. They're beautiful gifts given to us, given to you by God. And they become part of our lives, a manifestation of the Spirit, it says in the scripture there. But the other part of our lives is the fruit of the Spirit, and the two must work together. We can't demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit without love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all the fruit of the Spirit. And it's just really important that the two of those are held in tension together. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 13... you'll see just the need to operate in all that we do in love. So these are just a gift of God's grace to us. We don't deserve these gifts, but God gives them to us. I think that's amazing. And I said this morning, it's like a ring, you know, when the church is Christ's bride, and it's like he's giving us a ring. For some of you, it's an engagement ring. For some of you, it's an eternity ring or a wedding ring or a ruby or an emerald. All different gifts for each of you, every one of them. And according to you, your personality and how he wants to distribute the gifts. But there's something precious. There's something beautiful. So they're not to be knocked. They're not to be joked about. We don't put down the gifts, or we don't put down the giver, but we walk in great humility with what God has given us. So do not despise what God has given us. But what I want to focus on a bit today is verses 4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. God at work. So, there we go. There are different kinds of gifts. I like to call that the what. What are our gifts? There are different kinds of service. Where do we use those gifts? And there are different kinds of working. The how. How do we use those gifts? The what. Okay, verse 7 onwards talks about some of the gifts. If you've got your Bible still open, what are some of those gifts that are talked about from verse 7 onwards? Or those of you who remembered the Bible reading, what are those gifts mentioned there? Healing, yes. What else? Great. Wisdom. Faith. Knowledge. Prophecy. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Miracles. So there's a list of the gifts. But I believe that our gifts are far greater than that. I believe our gifts are as many as the creativity of God. Like, he can just give us all sorts of gifts, interesting gifts, different gifts, used for his purpose, used to extend the kingdom of God. Precious gifts given to us because he loves us. Gifts that are a blessing, special abilities, special talents, special capacities, but given to us by the Holy Spirit. So they have a supernatural touch to them. They're not just something in the natural. There's something that's supernatural about them. They're manifestations of the Spirit in our lives. And they're yet there to serve God, to serve others, to serve the community. In Genesis 12, it says we're blessed to bless others. And that's why he's given us these gifts, that we might bless others with them. But when we talk about gifts, whenever I talk about gifts, I'm surprised at how many people really don't have much of an idea about what gifts they have. So I'm going to ask you, I don't need detail, but do you know at least one gift that you think God's given you? Put up your hand. If you think you know at least one gift. And if you don't have a clue what gifts God's given you, put up your hand. You don't have any idea. No, that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. And then put up your hand if you didn't put up your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Like, people don't know their gifts. Some of you do. It's great. But so often people don't know their gifts. So how do we find our gifts? Well, I have done surveys. There are surveys out which give you a little bit of an indication. Look at your life. Look at where God has led you, where he's placed you, your family, your education, your experiences, your opportunities. That might give you a little bit of a clue as to what your gifts are, your interests. I think experimenting is great. I really want to say give things a go. If someone asks you to do something, give it a go. If they say we need so-and-so to do things, give it a go. You know, I gave singing a go and I found out it's not my gift. And you'll find out what's not your gift when you give it a go. But you'll also find out what you really love, what you really enjoy when you give it a go. So give things a go. But I think another way that we can really find our gifts is by affirming each other in their gifts. Tell people what you see in them, what you think God has put into them. You know, I look after some kids one afternoon a week. I pick them up after school, and I was talking to the 15 next week or the week after, the 15-year-old, and I said, you know, every time I talk with you, explain things so well to me. I said, I think you've got a teaching gift. And it was like, what? No one's ever talked to me about that before. Like, it was a whole light bulb moment for him, because we don't affirm people in the gifts that we see in each other. So let's look for those gifts. Let's affirm people in those gifts. Who's heard of Hunter Armstrong? Good, okay. Well, let me tell you about him. But let me say that sometimes in looking for the gifts, the gift can be camouflaged. Sometimes we see other things other than the gift. And so the story of Hunter Armstrong is that he's in the United States 4x100 metres relay that won the gold medal, which is a bit no, good on them. But they won the gold medal. But the whole swim team was asked, if someone's going to miss the bus, who is it going to be? And in one accord, they said, Hunter Armstrong. And so when he was introduced at the Olympics, it was, and there's Hunter Armstrong, the most disorganized person there is in the team. See, he was known for his disorganization, and yet he swam a brilliant third leg of that 100 meters and put them in the winning position. And sometimes what you're good at can actually be camouflaged. So look for the gifts and the calling and call them out in each other. So Will, you know, you have great gifts in leadership, in management, in organisation. But sometimes they can be camouflaged. So when he gives his brother a birthday, 21st birthday gift, a beautiful gold cufflinks, were they gold? Very nice, old, ancient, incredibly expensive cufflinks. He gets engraved on them the wrong initials. His sister's initials instead of his brother. Not great for his sister. JTT. Or when he books planes, and I know once, then he turns up the wrong day for the plane. Day late. Doesn't work out. Don't look at those things, though. Look at what he does do. Look at his organisation. Call it out. Work with him on it. Particularly those of you who have similar gifts, Work with each other. You will lift each other up. You will build each other up. Don't look at the mistakes. Look at the gift. Encourage each other. And let me say also about gifts. Gifts are your responsibility. They're your responsibility. So position yourself to grow and to develop the gifts that God has given you. To know your gift, to grow in your gift, to develop your gift. You know, when you go to heaven, God's not going to say to you, so Thornley Baptist Church, how did they use your gift? God's going to say, how did you use your gift? It's your responsibility. How did you develop and grow the gift that God, the precious gift that God has given you? There are different kinds of service, the where. So you might be a good teacher. You might have a teaching gift. But are you best with little kids or adults or disadvantaged youth or those in aged care? Are you better with small groups or big groups? So often the church has a limited number of positions to put people in. And those gaps have to be filled. And so the church calls forward people to fill those gaps. Give them a go. See how you go. But so often you end up as a bit of a round peg in a square hole. Don't let that say, well, I haven't got that gift. Find out where and how you are to use the gift that God has given you. Don't waste that gift. He's given it to you for a purpose. Your responsibility. I don't know if anyone here knows Mad Dog Mudford. 40 years, a travelling evangelist in Australia, lives off by faith. That's a long time in the church in Australia to support someone. But he's not a Billy Graham evangelist, though he can speak really well, which you might think. No, he's realised that his calling is to the rural areas, to the country towns. And when he goes there, he goes to the AA or the Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And at those meetings, you get a little time just to share your testimony, your story and how you're going. And so he shares what God has done in his life in setting him free through the power of Christ. Hundreds, if not thousands, I would say thousands, have come to the Lord because of that simple way he has used, travelling this country, going to rural areas, going to AA meetings and sharing the gospel. And he says to me, and when you go fishing, you have to go where the fish are. That's very helpful, actually. Sounds funny, but how often have we thrown out lines and waited and waited and waited and there's no fish there? And that's the same with our ministries. If we're an evangelist, we've got to go where no Christians are. Don't hang in the church. That's where all the Christians are. You can't use your gift there. You've got to get out. And whatever your gift is to be used with other people for the good. So you've got to find the kind of people that you use your gift with and for. You know, I'm a facilitator, and when I left the church, I had to find some people to facilitate for me to be able to use that gift. So think about how you can position yourself to use your gifts. There are different kinds of workings. This is the how. You know, we celebrate Will today and Will's ordination, a wonderful day, wonderful. I remember my ordination, it was a great day. But it's not only Will. As he said, we celebrate all of you because God's given each one of you gifts. It's not just Will he's given gifts to. He's given each of you gifts today. And for some of you, your gifts will touch thousands of people. For some of you, your gifts might be just used for a very small group. Some of you, you'll travel overseas and you'll see amazing manifestations of his spirit through you. Those gifts. You come home and you find nothing much happens at all. God gives gifts for one or for a thousand, but it's your responsibility to use the gifts that God has given you. You know, I worked with a guy called David once. He was a skinny, gawky sort of guy, never married. He used to say he needed a wife to dress him and tidy his appearance. I said this morning, I'm not sure I'm meant to say that.
But he had an extraordinary gift. He too was an evangelist, but the gift he used was to establish children's clubs. He had a very simple method and very simple resources. And he went out and established hundreds of children's clubs right across Queensland. Thousands of children came to know Jesus because of the simple gift and how he used that gift. It's a precious gift. We just need to be faithful to God with the gifts that he has given us. Never despise it. He wants you to use it. Position yourself. Position yourself to use it for him. I've got a friend who was an entertainer when he was a child. Piano and singing. He's even on TV, some of those early sort of talent quest shows. And then he went into the ministry. 50 years in the ministry, over 50 years in the ministry. And now he's retired. He's gone back to playing the piano, but he's positioned himself. He's gone to the hospital and he plays in the foyer of the hospital. He plays in the palliative care. He plays in the rehab. He plays in the cafe area. He goes to public places, plays the piano, bringing in the peace of God to people who are hurting, to people who are worried and fearful. He changes the atmosphere in those places using the gift that God has given him for many, many, many years. Being faithful to God. And God shows the fruit. He will never see the fruit, but God brings the fruit. You know, I don't know what you spend your time doing, but whatever you do, even that God wants to use. If you spend your time on Facebook and YouTube and playing computer games, God's got a way of using that. If that's what you love doing and it's even a gift that he's given you, God's got a way of using that for his kingdom. Ask him, talk to him about it. I'm sure even there's a social media space here at this church where they'd love more people to help in that area. I have been converted from a New South Wales person to a Queenslander in the state of origin. That conversion happens. I've seen the folly of my ways. And now I'm a North Queensland Cowboy fan. I'm a rugby league fan, not an AFL fan or whatever that stupid southern game is. But what they say in rugby league is... We've got AFL players. Oh, are you an AFL player? I'm very sorry. Go and enjoy your game. But what they say is if everyone knows their job, then we get the job done. And that's what it's like in the church. You know, we need to do our job, know what our job is, know what our gift is, and use that to, and the body of Christ across the whole of this nation would be extraordinary if every one of us raised up and did the job that God has called us to. It would be amazing. But the exciting thing is that God has actually given us a secret weapon beyond even those three things of what and what we've got and how we've got and how we use what we've got. And that secret weapon is faith. We're to use our gifts with faith. We're to apply faith. So often we do things and we do them because we know we can do them. And you might go, oh, I really feel I'd like to do this, but I don't know that I could. Yes, you can, because of God, because of faith. That's where faith comes in. When you're scared, when you're nervous, when you're fearful, when you think, I can't do it, that's when faith comes in. And faith pleases God. It says that in Hebrews, I think it is. Faith releases resources for the gifts that you've got. Faith is our secret weapon. So position yourself into situations where if God doesn't come through, it's not going to work out. That's faith. And enjoy watching what God is going to do. So we talked about a little bit about Stable on the Strand, this event, Stable at Riverway, that I'm involved with every year. It's a free gift to the city, and we have wonderful things happening there. Do any of you know Andy Bollum? He was the youth worker at Dura. Yep, he's up there now. We work with Andy, and he's doing an incredible job, let me tell you, and we need to pray for him because he's really on frontline stuff with Indigenous kids. He's dealing with these kids that are stealing cars, and every day he's right there, and we love Andy. But he's raised up a group of dancers now, and their first dance was at Stable, and I'm so proud of them. But now they dance at the stadium. They've danced down here in Sydney, the Laura Dance Festival, and God's really using them in all sorts of different ways, which is just wonderful to see these Indigenous kids finding their culture and enjoying the dance. Anyway, that's a little aside. But every year to put this gift on, $300,000, we've got to have faith for. $300,000. And, you know, that's if that doesn't come in, the event doesn't happen. And so it's just an example of we use the gifts, but we've got to apply faith to make this happen. There's a little story of my small group that I have on Wednesdays. One of the relatives of the person in the group got scammed, an elderly gentleman, 80 years of age, $80,000 out of his account. It just makes me so angry what some people do. That's using their gifts not for good but for evil. And anyway, the bank agreed to give back $30,000, and we rejoiced in that, and I always thought that's pretty good. But over supper one night, one of the participants said, I think we should pray that all the money comes back in. All the money comes back in. And it was like, whoa, that's a bit beyond my faith, but go for it. And she prayed. We went on with our supper. And we got a text in a couple of days later to say all the money, thanks to Bendigo Bank, had come back. $80,000 had been returned. And I thank Bendigo Bank, but it's God. It's God. He graciously answered that prayer. But at that time we were studying Acts chapter 7. There's a little phrase that's repeated there several times, and that phrase is, go home and read it, but God. And really that's faith. That money would not have been returned, but God. And so many things that we can use our gifts, we can do this, we can do that, but God. And that's the element that we need to add to our lives, add to our gifts, but God, to do them by faith with God. So there are different kinds of gifts. What's yours? There are different kinds of service. How do you exercise your gifts? There are different kinds of working. How do you use your gift? But in all of them and in every one, it is the same Spirit at work. And so today, as we've ordained Will, what's God saying to you? What's your gift? I want you to think about it. Not, oh, that was a nice sermon. What is your gift? Where does God want you to use your gifts? Position yourself to use your gifts. If you don't know what they are, explore, pursue it, ask God, experiment, give things a go. Find your gifts. And then use your gifts with faith. When you face doubt, when you give fear, when you feel fear, when you go, I don't know that I can do this. Yes, you can. I remember very early on, I used to run a lot of camps. I go, I can't do this, God. Yes, I can, but God. I couldn't on my own. I can, but God. And the same for you. You can't on your own, but you can with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the incredible gifts that you give us because of your great love for us, those precious gifts. And Father, forgive us for at times just ignoring them or not exploring them or not looking for them. Forgive us. But help us to find our gift. Help us to give our gifts back to you, that you will use them, that they'll have that supernatural, spiritual touch upon them. Help us to operate those gifts in faith. Help us to realize they're our responsibility, something beautiful that you have given us. And Father, as I've been around this church today, I want to pray for this church. I thank you for it. Thornley Baptist Church. God, I pray that just more and more you'll raise this church up. Every person finding their little place in the jigsaw, finding their place in this church, here in the church, in the community, being your people, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.